Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We have a new sponsor that you guys are going to love. Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. On Symbol, you can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your team wins, you earn cash. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Join the 7,000-plus early adopters who have started to invest in their favorite teams. Visit www.symbol.com, that's S-I-M-B-U-L-L.com, to create a free account and redeposit. Make sure you use the promo code SD to make your deposit risk-free. Visit the site and use the promo code SD, that's SD as in sugar daddy, and your deposit will be risk-free. That means if you lose money, Symbol will refund your initial deposit and no questions asked. Join Symbol and start investing and profiting from your favorite teams. Spotify Green Room. It's the live audio-only sports talk platform. Talk to fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Get in the conversations you listen to every day, especially on Twitter. Share your expenses on the app and your takes. And you have a chance to be featured on any type of show. I mean, if it's a podcast doing it, you know, you may be featured. All you got to do is download the app for free on the iOS App Store or Google Play Store, create your profile, link your Twitter, and then come in, you know, with your hot takes.
Defense played great. That was one of the best plays I've ever seen by Savante and Dennis. So it's a great team win.
You won this game without two of your best skill players in Israel Abanikanda and Jordan Addison. What was your mentality down the stretch without them?
I mean, Rodney had fresh legs, and that was something that I think we were holding him for. He came in, did a heck of a job. You know, a true freshman coming to this kind of stage. So, you know, hats off to him.
You said this would be a statement win for your program. What will this do for this Pitt program?
What does this mean?
Yeah, what does this mean for you guys?
I mean, it won't mean anything if we don't handle business these next couple weeks. So, I mean, we're really going to enjoy this one. I'm going to go have a cold one, and then we'll get ready for Miami.
You hardly see a quarterback this dirty after a win. How's your body feeling?
Never better. Best I've ever felt. Yeah, I'm good.
All right, congrats.
Anything if we don't handle business these next couple weeks. So, I mean, we're really going to enjoy this one. I'm going to go have a cold one, and then we'll get ready for Miami. I mean, it won't mean anything if we don't handle business these next couple weeks. So, I mean, we're really going to enjoy this one. I'm going to go have a cold one, and then we'll get ready for Miami.
You hardly see a quarterback this...
Welcome in to our Pitt Panther Rants and other sports fans podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, brought to you by The Sports Drink. And yes, Kenny, I had to rewind that several times. No musical introductions. I thought about using Here Comes the Hot Stepper as the intro. Maybe first Thursday I'll do that. But I just think after a win like this, you don't want to have like, you know, because my argument is, I think that Here Comes the Hot Stepper should replace Sweet Caroline. I think it would be a great fourth quarter song. You know, people could jam to it, but I don't know. I mean, obviously, the one people really want is Party on Fifth Ave. And, you know, I can understand the reason for that. I mean, well, for one, Mac Miller, it's a song that he did. And, of course, you know, if you went to Pitt or, you know, lived in Oakland especially, you're very familiar with Fifth Avenue. So it's, you know, Fifth and Forbes, the Cathedral. Of course, crossing Fifth to go up to... you know, up to the Pete or up to Pitt Stadium. Watch out for that Pat bus that comes and blows through the red light. you know, when you're crossing, because that's always the best one. Especially my favorite one was when I worked at Children's Hospital. It was always an intersection where at Fifth, where Wendy's was, and I would try to cross, and you always had that PAP bus who would just freaking the red light. It would drop off the people. It had the red light, but it would just blow through after everybody left. So it didn't matter if you had like the walk sign, if you're gonna start the walk. You know, there was many times where I saw I had the walk sign, and I was getting ready to walk, and boom, here comes this PAP bus right in front of me. And I say, you know, this PAP bus is gonna freaking hit somebody one day doing this crap. And I think they did. But I don't think much came of it though. You know, I did see, I mean, I saw some accidents on Fifth. I mean, I saw one where it was actually a fender bender because I believe it was either a panhandler or a homeless person walked. I mean, he didn't have a walk sign. He just walked in the middle of Fifth. And, you know, one guy stopped because he knew it was, because he saw him. But the person behind him didn't, obviously, and you know, he slammed his brakes, but boom, hit him anyway. That's just a shitty way for an accident to happen. But there was that, and I think there was another time on DeSoto Street. You know, there's that hill where right across from Children's, you wait for the UPMC shuttle to pick you up to take you to the 2nd Avenue lot. And I remember it was snowing that day. And we're all in line, and a Dodge Neon came down, and I guess the person lost control of the car because it was snowing, and it slid right into our line of people waiting for the shuttle. And you know, one of my coworkers actually ended up on the hood of the car. I mean, he tried to get out of the way. I mean, he jumped, and he ended up on the hood of the car and fell. And you know, a couple people went to the hospital. And I remember for him, he had his gambling slip with him, his betting slip that he was using to make his picks. All he was worried, he didn't care if he was all right or not. He wanted to know if his betting slip was with him, you know, if anyone had it. He did find it, if it was intact. So that's a good sign of a true person with a gambling problem, is they're faced with a possible life or death situation. And, you know, it could have been, you know, could have ended in death, but more an injury. He's worried about his gambling paper. Towards the end of my time with Children's, I remember if the weather was decent, I would actually just walk to the shuttle lot because it was just a lot easier. You know, it's funny because a lot of times I would get there at the same time as the shuttle did when I would do my walk. Because basically the walk is pretty much downhill. I mean, I would go, of course, I forget which route that is. I don't know if it was wasn't Myron, but it was definitely not Meyer. I'm trying to think what street that. Well, it doesn't matter. But I'd walk down it, and then I'd walk down Bates. And Bates pretty much is downhill. I mean, you're waving all the other cars that are stuck in that. I mean, and Bates was always a mess because that's pretty much the only way people knew to go. I mean, whereas, you know, towards the end of my time, I eventually figured out how to get the Swinburne through back streets. Right, you know, of course, you know, the UPMC shuttle helped out a good bit with that. But yeah, I mean, it's a downhill walk. I would go down Bates, and then of course the trails, the Eliza Furnace trail is there, and I would go on the trail and just walk to the, you know, walk to the lot, and that was that. And of course, but when I would get there, that same shuttle would just be pulling in, or just leaving. And it's a way to get some exercise. I mean, why, you know, I could have, you know, I thought about the times parking the, parking there and walking to my job, but I'd have to get there a little earlier. And of course, I'm walking all the way up Bates, and of course, I'm going to be probably sweating a good bit. So yeah, it just wasn't going to work. But it's Victory Monday, you guys. I had a sheet with all my picks and my youngest child must have clicked off of it. I could go back to my podcast and get my picks, but I really don't feel like doing that right now. And maybe I'll do that on Thursday. I'll go through my picks. Let's see what my record was. You know, I hate re-listening to my podcast, but that's just, you know, whatever. Took out Clemson, 27-17. Now, we obviously wouldn't be where we're at, you know, without Kenny Pickett this year. And obviously, he made one of the most iconic quotes in Pitt history. I mean, of course, there was the Tyler Palko, so fucking proud, against Notre Dame. You had that. That was not, you know, obviously an iconic quote because we talked. I remember when it, you know, when it came out, when he said it, I'm sitting thinking to myself, did he just say what I think he did? And then, of course, whoever was on the Notre Dame broadcast apologized for it. We're sorry for what Kenny Pickett, you know, we're sorry for what Tyler Palko just said on the thing. I mean, the guy threw with 300 yards, 5 touchdown passes, and, you know, obviously a big game, you know, it was an emotional game. Or, you know, his emotions were high, and, you know, he said what he said. Kenny had the more laid-back, iconic quote. And it was a great quote. I'm going to go have a cold one and get ready for Miami. After all that, you know, especially in Pittsburgh, it speaks volumes. Because, you know, Pittsburgh is blah, 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 still mill, blue-collar mentality. You know, I just put some drywall. I laid some bricks. You know, we did some construction on the new whatever. And, of course, all right, let's pause that because the highlights just came on. You know, I worked 12 hours a day, 16 hours. We did landscaping. We cut a bunch of lawns. I'm going to go have a cold one. You know, that's obviously what a lot of us did after long days. We go and we had cold ones. I mean, he could have said beer. I'm going to have a beer, but or have a drink. But that may, you know, the drink could be liquor, whatever, and it comes off maybe as if he has a drinking problem or something like that, or he parties too much. But, you know, I mean, the quote was, you know, he nailed the quote. I'm going to go have a cold one and get ready. In other words, I'm just going to have a beer or whatever, and then I'm going to go back to the, you know, back to the whole thing. I'm gonna kick back, relax, and then I'm gonna go get back to work, get prepared for the work week. I mean, you gotta love that, because that's what we all do. We on weekends, we try to at least we try to. After, you know, we have stuff that we may have not been able to do during the week, we do on the weekend, and finally we get done. We go have a cold one. I mean, but if you're a non-alcoholic person, maybe you have a cup of coffee, you know, to relax you, a latte, or a cup of hot tea. You know, you have those type of things. I mean, what do you like best? Do you like the "so fucking proud" quote from Palko, or do you like this one from Kenny? I mean, Pitt had a long. I mean, if we're being honest, 2004 was kind of a long year. I mean, there was so many ups and downs. And, you know, Walt Harris's future wasn't really in question. And, you know, people obviously, after what happened in 2003 and, of course, the recruiting class in 2004, a lot of people just, they couldn't wait. You know, they pretty much were done with, they were over Walt. And of course, his agent made some comments before the season, and I remember people just wanted him gone after that. That was it. And of course, we start out. I mean, we lost to Nebraska early in the year. I mean, we lost, I think, 3 games that year. I'm trying to think, there was 2 other games we lost. I can't think of them right now off the top of my head. Oh, UConn was one of them. We lost to UConn, and there was one more we lost. Syracuse that year. We lost in overtime. We lost 3 games, and I think Pitt needed the Notre Dame one to be bowl eligible, I believe. And or maybe not. I have to go back to it. I think it was, but they were 6-3, and they needed, you know, they obviously needed, you know, in terms of BCS, they needed something. But I remember they beat the crap out of South Florida to clinch the Big East, if I remember correctly. But which quote do you go with? I mean, you go with do you really have to go with just one quote? I don't think. I mean, Which one was more iconic? Well, I mean, I think they're about the same. I mean, you know, Tyler did his after that game, and that was a long, you know, that was a hard-fought game with Notre Dame. And Kenny, you know, it was a tough game for him. I mean, they, Clemson, you know, all Clemson had to do was show up and be Clemson. And that's pretty much what Miami's going to do this weekend as well. I mean, Pitt's a heavy favorite in this one, surprisingly, which, you know, it's a world we're living in. And I'm not sure who, you know, I think it, of course, I'll probably go with Pitt in that game as well. But, I mean, of course, Miami, like Clemson, they still got really good, you know, good athletes across the board, better athletes than Pitt. And that's what, you know, Clemson had pretty much. They were able to get pressure on Kenny early, but then, you know, Kenny eventually settled down. I mean, I mentioned last week on the podcast that this game was going to remind me a lot of Tennessee. I think I said something like that where, you know, Pitt will get rattled a bit, but they may settle down. And Kenny did. I mean, before he knew it, we were up 14-7 at halftime. And then the second half, Pitt imposed their will. They ran for over, you know, they ran for 162 yards as a team against Clemson. Ronnie Hammond Jr. was the big guy who, you know, he was bowling through Clemson's, you know, defensive line. Izzy was doing his thing as well. Izzy was targeted twice during that game. Before the first half, he was targeted on a cheap hit. Then the second half, you know, they finished him off with a concussion and knocked him out of the game. But Ronnie came in and did his thing, and he picked up where basically Izzy left off. Vincent Davis had some, you know, had some plays as well. I think he's going to break one eventually. I mean, he doesn't have power like Izzy and Ronnie do. Both those guys have power. Vincent's more slippery, and I think he may eventually get one. You know, receivers, Jordan Addison, 5 catches, 84 yards. I mean, he was out with a concussion because I think he would have got more. He was out, you know, Kenny put it up there and it just, you know, he jumped up for it and it just, that's how it happened. I mean, it was pretty much how, you know, Dom Beebe against, you know, when he played for the Bills against Cleveland, when he took that hit and he flipped over and landed on his head. Taysom Mack, 3 catches, 59 yards. And, of course, he had the all-important big one that put us up 14-7 at halftime. Lucas Kroll had, you know, 2 catches, 29 yards. I mean, Stovall, 2 catches, 28. He had also a nice first down run and after the catch. And I can see why, you know, he was brought in from Hawaii, because a lot of times when you bring these transfers in, you don't know how they're, you know, how they're going to be. But obviously his coach, his receivers coach, brought him in, and I can see why. I mean, Pitt's always had their case of the dropsies, but Brennan Marion, I hope we can keep him after this year, because, I mean, give him some sort of associate head coach role or something, because he's a big reason why these receivers are playing as, I mean, they're the best we've seen them play. Clemson, on the other hand, this game was not close. Pitt should beat this team by a lot more. The officiating in the game, and especially the second half, kept Clemson in the game. There were some, you know, I guess you could say they were saying officials were cracking down on calls, quote. But some of them were very tic-tac. You know, one holding call, which wasn't even a hold, cost Pitt a potential touchdown. Pitt the sell for 3. The last touchdown Clemson got in the fourth quarter, that was gift wrapped by the officials. I'm drinking here, so sorry. But when you have, I mean, Clemson's been spoiled the last 5 years with, I mean, maybe 6 now. With guys like Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence and a whole bunch of skill players as well. I mean, they've been blessed with so much NFL talent. And eventually there was going to be a drop-off. I mean, you have it sometimes. I mean, unless you're Nick Saban, of course, where you don't worry about that. But in Clemson's case, they were eventually going to have a drop-off. It doesn't mean they're dead. I mean, they may be back next year. they may return back to their prominence next year, possibly. I mean, they are Clemson, and the Bo's done, they've had an amazing run. I mean, they won two national titles, and they played several. I mean, they've been in the college football playoff a bunch of times. I mean, and they play in. I mean, they played for national titles on top of winning two. I mean, they won, played for at least three or four, was it? Four national titles, and they won two. I mean, yeah. They've had a really amazing run. And, of course, their quarterbacks are pretty much mediocre, but their receivers didn't give them much help either. I mean, they were dropping passes. I mean, they could have been easily up 14-0 if they had dropped the, you know, the pass over the middle. I'm sitting there coughing, you know, trying to hold my coughs back because, yeah, sorry, guys. But, overall, all in all, this was a great team win, and now they could have a cold one and get ready for Miami. And let me tell you guys about our latest new sponsor. In fact, let me find it first because I had it pulled up, and of course, I can't freaking find it now. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Symbol is the sports stock market that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. There are two ways to make money on Symbol. First, every time a team you own wins, you earn a cash payout. Second, just like the stock market, if you think a team is going to increase in value, you can buy low and sell high for profit. Use the promo code SD to make your first deposit risk-free. That means if you lose money or just decide the market is just not for you, Symbol will refund it, no questions asked. And let me tell you about Spotify Green Room. It's the live, audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. Talk to other fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Prefer watch parties, post-game breakdowns, debates, reacting to breaking news, all kind of stuff. It's basically like a Twitter, but it's, you know, you're audio only. You're not worrying about trolls and whatnot. You know, you're not celebrating a Pitt win, and you're worried about a Penn State guy coming on and talking about Pitt's attendance, which is kind of a weird flex, by the way. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute. Start enjoying ongoing conversations, watch games together. And, you know, who knows who may show up? You know, maybe Jay Paterno will show up at, you know, and talk about attendance, you know, and how important it is to college football, you know, in a pit room. You know, you never know. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app in the iOS App Store, Google Play Store, create your profile link or Twitter, and then come in with your spicy takes. Yeah, there's a bunch of, like, tired subjects. Attendance is one of them. I mean, Pitt knows. The Pitt fans acknowledge they do have an attendance problem. And, you know, we don't really fill our stadium. We know it. It's just how it is. It's the reality of it. And maybe, you know, if Pitt keeps winning, maybe some excitement for next year will come aboard. I don't know. I mean, Penn State, I mean, I think a lot of us came on the heels of Penn State's loss to Illinois, which I thought they were going to win that game. And I think part of me thought they would cover that too. I thought they would come in pissed off with Clifford and win it, but I'm not sure what happened there. But if I'm a Penn State fan, a loyal one who goes to those games, and I'm probably going to be really pissed off at James Franklin. I mean, I think that he's, you know, he's taken him to several big bowl games since he's been there, but he's made some, you know, some questionable decisions with his coaching staff, especially on offense. Last year, they have a losing season. They start off pretty bad. This, you know, it seemed like they were getting on track, and then the injury that happened to Clifford against Iowa, and I thought they would come back with something better. You know, they would come out pissed off from a bye week and tear Illinois to pieces, and they lost in 9 overtimes. But yeah, I mean, if I'm a Penn State fan, yeah, I'm really, really pissed off at that game. I'm probably willing to hold. That's one of the, I mean, if you're going to hold Franklin and the staff accountable, you do that. I mean, at that point, what you have seen as a Penn State fan, especially the last year and what happened today, you definitely wonder what the hell is going on here. And, you know, during the down years, you know, there was a dark years in the Paterno era. I mean, that was 2004. I mean, they had that one winning season in 2002, but, you know, 2003 and 2004 were nightmares for them. And, yeah, they weren't too happy with Joe, and they wanted to hold Joe accountable and whoever else. And eventually, changes were made. I mean, they brought in Galen Hall, and they found ways to use Michael Robinson that needed to happen. And, of course, they went 11-1, I think 12-1 that year. And they were probably maybe 2 seconds away from possibly playing in a national title. They, of course, I'm not sure because Texas and USC were both undefeated, I believe, as well. But if anything, Penn State probably wins a share of the national title, if anything else. It depends on the voters, of course, as well, if they want to give that to them. And to be honest with you, I doubt they would have, because they love Texas and USC. I mean, I do feel that the Heisman Award is very it's all politics. I think people who are going to get that. I mean, if Kenny Pickett's playing the SEC, he's probably definitely the front runner. He's going to get the award just handed to him. But for Kenny, they actually get serious consideration for this Heisman Award. He's got the win out to do it. And of course, there's the tired ass old argument of the, if he's a 5th year or 6th year QB. I personally don't care how many years he's been here. We're 6-1. We're doing pretty well. And, you know, if we do have a really good season, Kane can stay as long as he wants. I can care less. I mean, if he's going to keep winning games like this, putting up numbers and making things fun to watch, then I'm definitely going to, I'm definitely going to keep watching them and keep enjoying my Saturdays. So let's get to some other things around the rest of the ACC. Wake Forest beat Army 70-56. I didn't see that one coming, but yeah, that's pretty interesting. NC State lost to Miami. I think I took NC State in this one, but my gut was thinking Miami, and I should have stuck with my gut. And Miami pulled it off, 31-30. You know, I initially was going to go with Miami, but I thought they put up some big numbers because I trashed North Carolina team. And that's the thing about Miami. It doesn't matter, if they suck or not. You cannot take Miami lightly because they still have really good athletes. Florida State beat UMass, 59-3. That was expected. Syracuse, I thought Virginia Tech would win this one. It was looking like that, but I thought this was a big game for Dino Babers and for Justin Fuente. And yeah, I think Virginia Tech pretty much they're going to be probably looking for a new coach, because that was one they definitely didn't need to lose. I know they have yet to play Virginia. Virginia's 6-2, and that's another team Pitt really needs to worry about as well, especially in the Coastal. Brandon Armstrong had 4 TDs in that game. He's a really good QB, and Bronco Mendenhall is a hell of a coach. And yeah, that's another team in the Coastal we will have to worry about. But if Pitt wins out, and if that's the only game they lose, because Virginia's 4-2 in the ACC, then we won't have to worry too much about that. Let's see, Louisville beat Boston College 20-14. I expected more from BC, but oh well. Now for the rest of the top 25. Anything really, really good? I mean, Cincinnati Navy 21-7-20. Oklahoma beat Kansas 35-23. People were having meltdowns about that because they thought that, because Oklahoma was losing early. Bama beat Tennessee 52-24. Ohio State, they were 21-point favorites in this game, and they covered the 21 pretty easily. 54-7 Indiana. I realized that Phoenix was out, because I was wondering what the hell happened in Indiana. I've been saying that they had a fluke season. But, of course, I learned 3 weeks ago that Phoenix got hurt. Well, actually, I just learned 3 weeks later he was hurt. So, I missed the memo, so that's on me. Penn State loses Illinois 20-18, this was an odd one. I'm wondering what the hell happened here. I mean, how does a team like Penn State lose to Illinois? And Penn State was 7th ranked. Pitt jumped Penn State in the polls in the AP, but they're below them on the coaches poll. Let's see anything else. Oregon, you know, gets past UCLA 34-31. I thought UCLA was going to beat them, but, you know, Notre Dame beat USC. I thought USC would win that one because they were just, you know, I'm not sold on Notre Dame. Ole Miss beat LSU. That's really about it, really. Purdue got bounced out by Wisconsin. It looks like Wisconsin, I guess, is, you know, they're making a little surge. But, of course, as I said before, yeah, Pitt has jumped up in the standings. I mean, we're higher than Penn State. You know, we jumped Penn State in the rankings on, you know, in the AP, which was surprising. But I mean, the last time Pitt was probably ranked was the 2016 season. And we were like, of course, we dropped out after the loss to Northwestern in the bowl game. But before that, our last ranking probably was, shoot, it was probably the once that year. Yeah, it's probably the last time we finished ranked. And, yeah. I'll enjoy the ranking, and I'm going to enjoy this, because who knows? It can be gone anytime, any soon. But, of course, I'm going to, you know, enjoy all this. And, of course, I'm going to have a cold one probably while I'm enjoying it. And that's what some of you guys and ladies, I hope you do this week. No matter how things can be stressful, try to go have a cold one. Anyways, I'm done here, guys. Hell to Pitt. Talk to you later.